Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, folks. Is she gonna do it or not? Is Kate gonna issue the statewide stay-at-home order, even though it really isn't a statewide stay-at-home order? Can you imagine that? You want to talk about confusing, folks. This woman is really good at it. Friday night, she, along with, well, Mayor Ted Wheeler, you know, the Portland triumvirate, because it's all about Portland, right? The rest of the state might as well just go to, you know, Hades. But it's all about Portland. Kate shows up at a news conference with Ted Wheeler, Mayor of Portland, Debbie Cafori, who's the chairwoman of the Multnomah County Commission. I used to serve with Debbie. I know her well. She used to serve. I mean, it shows up with those people. Why not the mayor of Salem? Why not the mayor of Eugene? Why not some Clackamas County commissioners? How about the Washington County Commission? And she puts out an incredibly confusing statement. I mean, I'm sitting here watching it. And I'm going, What are you saying? Well, apparently nobody really knows and understands. And stories today continue to be written about that confusing Friday night press conference. In the meantime, because she's confusing and she's unclear, and they're saying, hey, you know, stay at home. It's okay to go out and walk your dog. That's okay. It's okay to go to the grocery store. Just maintain 6 feet. It's okay to do all of that stuff. And then they have a cow. When you go to the beach on an incredibly beautiful Saturday, what do you expect anyway? This is the problem with the mindset of the regressive totalitarian Marxists. You see, they really want to control your life, friends. That's what this is all about. Never let a crisis go to waste, right? I mean, isn't that what... who is he? Doggone it. Rahm Emanuel, who was a former congressman who left Congress, made a bunch of money because that's what Democrats do. They give you a position in some stock trading firm and you make a bunch of money and then you're set for the rest of your life. And then he came back and he was Obama's first chief of staff. Now, he served a disastrous 2 terms as mayor of Chicago. And he's still out there. And his famous saying is never let a crisis go to waste. Okay. The Democrats aren't. And the regressive totalitarian mindset is just this, folks. At every opportunity, they want to try to create some kind of a perceived crisis and that they have to be bigger and stronger. Government has to come to the rescue. Now, in this case, and Ron, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in a moment, folks. Here's the deal. This morning, last night, when I've been in Pasco, Washington over the weekend at a grandson's birthday, turned 7 years old. Happy birthday, Caleb Carter. And so I got home and I turned on Bloomberg TV. I know it's Bloomberg. But I turned on Bloomberg TV to see what was going on in the markets in Asia. Well, they're tanking. And our markets were going to tank this morning when I got up at 3:30. And okay. So what happens out of that is all of a sudden the Federal Reserve comes up, puts out a press release and says, you know what? We're going to buy as much of your debt, America, as we need to get us through this thing. Now, friends, you got to understand that turned around the market big time. The futures are now up 352 and we get started in about 20 minutes. We'll see how much the market really goes up. That managed to find a way to dispel the people being upset that the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, had convinced Chuck Schumer not to vote in favor of the Senate deal, which they'd been working on for 3 or 4 days. Why? Because she wants to put abortion funding in this thing. Never let a crisis go to waste. Now, there are some good things that can come out of this in terms of not letting this crisis go to waste. And it's interesting because Kate Brown is actually being urged to do some good things that can make your life easier, make your life better, like temporarily suspending paid gasoline station attendants so that we could actually pump our own gas. Now, look, folks, all the years that I was in the legislature, I was always voted against that legislation. Why? Because my wife and my mother said I had to. And I'm not kidding you either. Believe me, they did. They don't want to get out of their cars on a rainy, wet, cold Western Oregon day and go pump their own gas in the wintertime. I want somebody else to do it. Okay, fine. She's being asked to do that. Now, that's good for the workers because they're going to get paid anyway. That's part of this whole $2 trillion that apparently the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury is going to spend. I mean, they're going to print $2 trillion worth of money to buy the bonds, the T-bills that the U.S. Treasury is going to issue to finance $2 trillion worth of backstopping the American economy, including gas stations, gyms, everybody else that's going to get shut down when Kate Brown issues her order. And it's expected she's going to issue an order today. But yet there's exceptions. Now, here's the opportunity for Trump. In fact, it's already happening. He is on TV every single day with that team of people behind him. And you know what? It's adding a lot of comfort and stability into the minds of Americans. That's why 5 polls over the last few days indicate that Donald Trump's approval rating has jumped dramatically. This is an opportunity. This crisis is an opportunity for Trump to continue to remake the bureaucratic thinking of the Leviathan known as the federal government. It's going to work, folks. It's an opportunity. But there are other opportunities, and I'm going to get into them, especially one from Anne Marie, a friend of mine that I go to church with, has a great positive opportunity about things we can do that are good. I'm going to get into all of that, but we've got to go to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. We'll start first with Ron. Ron, good morning. What you say, brother?
Hey, my brother. How you doing?
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to lay some things out for you real quick here. Number one, shame on Pelosi. Shame on Chuckie Schumer. And shame on Jerkly Merkley, Oregonians. Remember, he is up for election this year.
Jerkly Merkley, I like that. That's good.
Screw you, small businesses. Screw you, God dang, the Clark Foundation. Screw everybody else. We don't matter to the left because you do not listen and do what they say, not what they do. But they don't talk about that money making that maybe Pelosi's husband might have made on the stock market on a downturn, before the downturn, just like Feinstein and others. They don't talk about the warranted situation where they run enough businesses, people that want to spend money, will get spaced out freely along the beaches and everything else. No, they don't want you to leave your house. They want you to live in fear. 5 deaths, 112 cases, less than 0.015%, 0.015%. And yet, we have a crisis. We have 34,000 people that died this winter since October of the basic flu. Do not fall for this. Stand up. Be yourselves. Be respectful. Stay within 6 feet from others. But don't stop living. And it's time to hold up governor to her feet. Give her a phone call to her office today. Ask her how it's going to help some of these businesses like the various restaurants around Salem, that's mom and pop, their net profit is only 2 to 8%, and they only have month-to-month money to get a 5-cent pay to workers. Ask her how she is going to, what the game plan, how long it's going to be, what the science and research going to be to declare when it's over. The question that all 11 of these governors of the Veto Bolsheviks, as I call them, from Godfather Don Corleone Cuomo all the way to Jeepless Inslee to Useless Newsom in California. Of course, look, again, and then we got Useless Kate here. Looked like she's had a Ted Kennedy special when she spoke this weekend. But overall, people, be safe. Be cordial. Call your governor's office. Ask her. Ask your people. And if you need to, call Ms. Kotek. Call Mr. Courtney. Call Mr. Prozanski, of these various committees in the House and the Senate of our state government, and say, hey, why are we not fully represented when the governor speaks from all points of the state?
Well, that's exactly right. And she's not going to implement this in an even-handed manner. Ron, thanks a lot. And I'm going to tell you why.
God bless you. Because
our next caller is going to share with us why. Let's go to Bruce, who's on the line. Bruce, this email you sent me this morning, this doesn't sound like this quote-unquote shutdown is affecting everybody the same way.
Yeah, Jeff, I got a call. I've been campaigning door-to-door up until, you know, the stay-at-home order. And I put a sign up, a Bruce Cuff sign and a Trump sign in this lady's yard. And Kit called me this weekend. And she said, Bruce, I've got something I need to have handled here. She says, my daughter, she's a nurse, and she's working, you know, more than full-time. She's got three kids in school. And, you know, she's getting calls from all these teachers, three different grades, to actually, you know, get these kids online and whatnot. Well, the teachers are still getting paid even though they're not working. That's the disconnect here. You know, there's other people that are just laid off. You know, all the restaurants are shut down. All these waitresses are out of business. You know, multiple Oregonians are told to stay home, but yet teachers are still going to get paid for doing what?
Well, apparently for not going to work. So your point is, you know, one that's kind of political, isn't it? I mean, teachers are part of the teachers union. They give money to Kate Brown and to the Democrats. Now, you wouldn't want to bite the hand that feeds you, would you, if you're Kate?
Well, yes, I understand that. You know, but the teachers union is the reason that our education system is so messed up. You know, when I attended a thing in McMinnville when Betsy DeVos came, they had 200. Well, I'll hang on through the break.
Okay. All right, we'll be back with Bruce in a moment, folks. 6:20 in the morning. So will Kate make you stay in your home? And if she does, what happens if you violate? It's a misdemeanor. Oh, goodness. No promises, no delay. Love is a friend.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. We'll get back to Bruce in a moment. You know what I said? Never let a crisis go to waste. It's an opportunity. Well, I mean it. In fact, I got a great email from Anne Marie about that, is the opportunity to do some positive things. And boy, do we ever need that. Now, one of the positive things you could do that is an opportunity is for you to think about hiring a limousine, Diamond Royalty Rides, great Salem-based company. You know what? I mean, think about it. Look, most of us are going to stay employed. Those of us who are going to be unemployed are going to get assistance for it. in a number of ways, enough to keep things going. So do something special. Use this quote-unquote crisis as an opportunity to do something special for somebody you care about. Maybe your family. Maybe you guys like hire the limousine from Diamond Royalty Rides. Check out their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com, and go on a beautiful drive on an afternoon. Now, look, you can social distance in a car, driving around, looking at Mother Nature. You know, like the cherry blossoms are coming out. I mean, it's just seriously, there's no reason you can't do that. Because Kate Brown's order that we expect to be coming today isn't necessarily going to say that you gotta just stay home. Now, there's going to be a list of businesses. I'm telling you, folks, take advantage of the opportunity to spend some time with your family. You can sequester together in a beautiful limousine, diamondroyaltyrides.com. An email from Trudy. Here's what she says. So what are we supposed to think of our star, Queen Kate? She goes in front of the cameras to offer support in the coronavirus epidemic, and then behind closed doors, she secretly puts cap and tax into play. Look good to the public, then stab them in the back in private. Kate's trying to make a name for herself nationally. If her overreach goes to court, at least she can tell her leftist buddies that she tried. She's not looking at Wyden's seat, but something higher, hopefully a position in a future Democrat administration. I noted that when she was on TV 2 weeks ago at a press briefing concerning the virus, that she would not get off the stage once she was through speaking. Health officials answering questions had to literally walk around the bobble-heading buffoon to get to the mic to answer questions from reporters. I could tell a lot about just watching her unwillingness to give the full floor to the experts in the field was all I needed to know about her. Even more so, you know, a buddy of mine called me the driveway stalker. He calls me after Queen Kate's disastrous news conference Friday night with Ted Wheeler and Debbie Kefauri. He says, did you notice how angry she was when she was being questioned by reporters? Yeah, I know Kate well. I served with her for 8 years in the Oregon legislature. She does not like being held accountable. She does not like being criticized. It's a good reason to pray for her. Let me tell you, she needs a lot of it. Go back to Bruce. So, Bruce, let me play devil's advocate. Okay?
Okay.
So, teachers are getting paid full salaries, even though they're not working. But yet some would say they are working because they're providing some limited lesson plans, trying to contact their students and so on and so forth. How would you judge that?
Well, Jeff, the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of parents who are still working, and you're asking them to figure out how to get their kids online. They might have three kids at home. Get your kids online. Make sure they do their homework. It's unrealistic for parents, and they're scrambling for babysitters, the ones that are working. I mean, it doesn't make sense to shut the schools down, put all the burden on the parents to actually do the teacher's job and pay the teachers. If they're going to shut the schools down, they should just shut off the pay for the teachers. Once this is over, go back to school and then go into the summer until they meet their requirements of, to have the school year. They're counting this as a school year. This is not a school year, and the teachers shouldn't be paid right now, because the fact of the matter is these kids cannot get their education this way, unless they're actually in a program that's set up for this, like Connections Academy, where it's already set up to be online. It's already in place. Teachers are working. The kids are working. You know, what's great about this is it's showing just how important Connections Academy and like charter school, like this model is, because they can go to school no matter what, but these kids, this isn't working. They need to cut the pay off for the teachers, shut the school year down, and start up after they go back and go into the summer. That's what they should be doing.
All right, that's Bruce's opinion. Bruce, thanks for your opinion. I appreciate it. Is he right? I mean, is this equal application of Kate Brown's coming edict? I mean, it's already in place, right, for schools? But what about everything else? Are teachers being unfairly targeted here? Unfairly targeted in that they get something you don't? Or are they still working? Should it be, like Bruce says, that, you know, look, if kids are out of school, they're out of school? Or should we still try to find some way to teach them? I mean, it is hardship. I mean, if you got two working parents and all of a sudden your kids are at home, I mean, you're really scrambling out there, right? And you don't want them just sitting around playing video games. You want them still learning. I tell you, one of the other big problems with shutting down the schools right now, and Bruce hit on this, is the reality is that if you're a senior and you need to finish some classes between now and the end of the year so you get enough credits to graduate, if you don't, it's going to make it really hard for you to go to college this fall if that's where you're headed, right? And this is a problem. I've got to find some way around it. Is it right then to think that maybe summer school, maybe just starting the schools back up again, and families saying, okay, so I guess we're not going to go on our summer vacation because we got to go back to school. Is that the right way to handle this? Lots of interesting things going on. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. What do you think? What does it mean if Queen Kate issues her edict today from her throne with her scepter in hand? What an image that is, isn't it? We'll have to get the purple robes for her and the crown. What happens if she does issue her edict that you got to stay at home? What are you going to do? How would that impact your life? Interesting, isn't it? Let's talk about it on the other side. It's 6:30 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee. I'm your host, Jeff Krupp. Back.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, it's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to go right back to the phones right now. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say? Welcome.
Are you talking to me, Jeff?
I am.
Okay, this is Mary.
A little bit
off topic. I know this is tough times for folks, and a lot of our churches are not open, but I want to remind folks that they still need money to operate on, and also that the food banks are not getting as much food as they were, and there's a lot of issues with people donating and touching stuff. So just remember the food banks in your church.
You know, that's an excellent reminder, Mary, and thanks for that. You know what? Because you're right. Churches still need to operate. They still have payments to make. They still have staff to pay. You know, for instance, I was going to meet with one of our pastors tomorrow and in person, and we're going to do it by telephone. So they're still working and they're still helping people. So that means, folks, you still should give them money online for offerings and your tithes. And you can do that typically with most churches that I know of anyway have websites and you can give online. Excellent point. And also the food banks, you know, along with giving blood, I mean, this is an opportunity to help people. I'm not quite serious. I mean, look, you can't spend money going out to eat, right? I mean, you can because you can still do drive-thrus. But, you know, generally you're not going to spend the same amount of money doing those kinds of things. I know I'm not. So why not think about donating some of that money to maybe the food bank? You know, they need it also. Maybe if you have food stuffs, maybe if you've hoarded. Just kidding, folks. But, you know, if you got plenty of stuff and the food bank really needs it, or your neighbors, give to them. Let's use this crisis as an opportunity. Excellent point, Mary. Thank you.
With some of the hoarding, Jeff, some of the groceries do not have extra food to donate to the food bank. And so the food bank is really scraping. And also, more people are out of work and needing that food. So remember your local food bank. Thanks, Jeff.
Mary, thanks. Excellent point. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. You know, if you're sitting at home, and most of us are going to be because Queen Kate is expected to issue her edict to stay home. We'll see how angry she is today when she does that. But, you know, the reality is, you know, maybe you're home and you're looking around and you're thinking, you know, I really wanted to fix this, or, you know, this needs to be fixed and I can't do it, or I don't want to do it, or I don't have the expertise to do it. You should think about calling Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations. Here's a guy who can come out and help you. And to the very best of my understanding, if we're going to model Queen Kate's shutdown, they're still going to allow certain businesses to operate. And if you have a critical need in your home, like you got to have something repaired, there's your opportunity to call Righteous Renovations. Check out their website, righteousrenovations.com. They're still allowing that in California, by the way, residential construction and repair. I mean, think about it. If you've got a plumbing problem, you got to call a plumber. If you've got an electrical problem in your home while you're, you know, Queen Kate says you got to stay at home, well, you still got to be able to call a plumber. That's an essential service. It really is. I expect that those businesses will still be around. That's a great reason for you to call Eric Azer. You got a problem, needs to be fixed. He's the guy to call. RighteousRenovations.com. Check it out. Let's go to Clark, who's on the line. Clark, good morning. What do you have to say today?
I'm wondering here, sometimes the answers to complicated problems like this are simple. And we're told that these alcohol wipes are killing the virus if you wipe things down. So why wouldn't alcohol kill the virus if you drank it in the form of maybe a fine bottle of Kentucky whiskey?
I know you're sort of saying that tongue-in-cheek, but there's a story today how the OLCC has changed their rules to allow curbside pickup for alcohol.
Well, this would be a win-win for the government because they're going to get a lot of taxes off the sale of the liquor. And Kate could even have a wellness program catchphrase: don't drink and drive, stay home, drink and thrive.
Oh, Clark, you're way too many this early in the morning.
Lefties, if they tell you that the liquor's bad for you, you could tell them, well, it seems at this point the choices are be intoxicated and alive or sober and dead. I know which way I'd go.
Oh, Clark, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah.
A little levity today is not a bad thing. Hey, folks, I want to remind you, coming up at the top of the hour is Good Morning Salem with Stacey Anna. She just sent me a great text message about looking at the Oregon Health Authority's website every day. They've made it hard to find, but added a big picture of Kate. Of course, Stacey Ann. They know who they work for, the Queen. So the state employee who shall never be named writes me this email. Who potentially would benefit politically from the growing coronavirus epidemic in the United States? Well, there are no public rallies and political ads on the airwaves have ceased. The battle for the Democrat nomination between Sleepy Joe and Bernie the Red is on hold. Upcoming primaries will likely be postponed or held by mail. President Trump can't campaign or hold rallies throughout the country while dealing 24/7 with a huge challenge of the coronavirus and the economic challenges we're facing. So who benefits politically as the country continues to face this great health crisis? Although President Trump has closed foreign travel and the borders, he's mobilizing private industry and experts within government and private sectors in support of the efforts of medical supplies and possible cures. Yet the regressive totalitarian Marxists in the media are increasingly their claims that he did not act timely and has not responded to the need for more tests, kits, or other medical supplies. I would suggest that Sleepy Joe Biden may be the greatest beneficiary politically of this terrible crisis. He doesn't have to say anything so that he won't make more embarrassing gaffes. He does not have to do anything. That would demonstrate his severe lack of leadership and ineptitude. Could this horrific crisis for our country be the best thing that could happen to help Sleepy Joe Biden and his candidacy? No, that's entirely possible. It is. Let's see. I mentioned this because I think this is important. You know, look, Trump is not letting this crisis go to waste. He's every day in front of the microphones, and he will be today. I guarantee you. His poll numbers are going way, way up. Now, friends, there is a lifetime of time between now and the presidential election. And what the state employee who shall never be named was saying is that right now, Sleepy Joe is benefiting from this because he doesn't have to say anything, because the press is carrying his water and continuing every day to try to attack Trump. Yet Trump is defending himself well and showing, frankly, by what he is good at doing. And what is he good at doing? Making things happen. And frankly, you know, he has more power as president than he ever did as a businessman. And that's a good thing, because he's making things happen. And we on the right need to be well-versed in terms of understanding in our daily political lives, because remember, we're the greatest persuaders we'll ever know. In our circle of influence, there are persuadable people. You need to know the timelines, and there's some, just go check it out on the internet, folks. The official timelines, the Trump campaign has put them out there. The White House has put them out there. What Trump has done from the beginning. And it all started when he started activating. This thing got on his radar screen, during impeachment. Democrats were focused on it. President Trump is not letting this crisis go to waste, because he continues to reshape the face of the American bureaucracy of the U.S. government by cutting red tape all over the place. And he's getting all kinds of criticism for it. But friends, it's working. Now, that's a positive that's going to pay huge dividends for us down the road. So also is what my friend Anne Marie, I go to church with, sent me this email, and I think this is perfect. She said, let's talk this through. Every day there's another list of limitations given by the powers that be. Stay inside your homes, no sneaking, disinfect everything, including yourself, keep your children home from school, find child care while you work. Next, you must work from home or not at all, less money coming in and more going out. She says, I'm done with focusing on what I cannot do. No more. It's time to focus on what we can do. Here's what she thinks. Now, I think these are great suggestions. Listen to this. Consider that we can rebuild broken relationships. There's time. Consider our own ways that we've limited ourselves. There's time. Consider we can build windows of hope and revelation for ourselves and for other people. There's time. Consider reaching out to join our arms and lock our shields together. There's time. Consider rebuilding our homes, our families. There's time. The following scripture is a favorite of mine and brings to focus on what's really important. Proverbs 24, 3 through 6. Through wisdom is a house built, with understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant memory. Really good advice. What say you? 6:48 in the morning, back in a moment. Last segment coming up. Don't. Come
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, 10 minutes till we'll get to Rebecca in a momento. However, I want to remind you something. You know what that something is? Freedom Heating and Air can keep your home a lot safer from the virus. Yeah, I mean, they have systems that can help you do that. Now, this is not a bad thing. In fact, I think it's a good thing, especially if somebody in your sick or your house is sick. Maybe they have the flu, not the virus, but maybe they've got a flu. Maybe they got the cold. You know, having one of their UV light systems, filtration systems, the HEPA filters, all the things that they can add to your existing system or maybe replace if your system isn't working right, can make your home a lot more germ and virus free. Check it out. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. They can help. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Some quick emails before we go to Rebecca. One from Corby. Says, morning, Jeff. As much as I don't like the public school system and want them all to be privatized, Bruce is absolutely correct. He's got my vote. Well, there you go, Bruce. Let's see. Rich sent me an email, said, the stay-at-home was sent to all stores. I saw the copy of Safeway Sunday. Governor Wheeler was fun to watch with Lieutenant Governor Brown. Very interesting to watch. What a sad joke upon us. Then he writes, so who is getting rich on the virus? The demos blocking monies for the virus due to their mean and hate of the average citizen? I hope people remember that when it counts. So how is schools' lunches helping to stop the virus, ages 1 through 18? How do they get there for the lunch? Oh, the grandparents take them? Well, it's all common sense. And then Lee writes, history from an old guy. I read a post on Facebook where a gal asked an elderly man if he could use some help. The gentleman gave her a history lesson of what he has lived through in the last 80 years. Thanks, but I don't need help. I hope these sissies grow up, put their phones down. We've been through war and other illnesses. We need to help each other. We are Americans, and we can get through this small bump. Excellent point. Could not in any way disagree with it. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. What say you this fine day?
I don't feel that this is a test or anything, a dry run. I feel that this is an actual attack on our liberty, and people should view it that way. And when we are in martial law, it's a time of arbitrary governing. There's no set. If we still consider ourselves to be Americans with rights, that's not true under martial law. We are Americans, but are we actually even citizens under martial law? It depends on who is running the government. And I'm very concerned about McConnell and Trump signing anything that the Democrats come up with in the House. And
I would be too, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think Trump is going to allow any abortion funding in this thing. And I expect him today at his press conference to beat the living daylights out of Nancy Pelosi. We'll see if he does it. But regarding martial law, let me ask you this. Do you think Trump would impose such a thing in America?
Well, my understanding might not be right, but it seems to me like I heard on the radio that he is sending troops into three states at the request of their governors, Washington, California, and one back east. I forget which it was.
Yeah, so what he's doing is he's activating National Guard units, because presidents can do that. Governors can do it. Presidents can do it. And these are not, however, soldiers with guns. These are MASH units and other supportive units. So they're really the doctors and the nurses and those field hospitals. That's my understanding what Trump is doing.
So you believe he will not sign the bill that's $2 trillion or whatever it is?
No. I think he will. I just don't think he's going to let all this other garbage be in it.
How does a president have that kind of... Presidents have always been either you sign it or you don't. You just accept
That's what I said. I think he will publicly shame Schumer and Pelosi today in such a way they don't dare try this again.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen. And he's got he's got a bully pulpit that they don't have. I mean, he does, and he'll use it. I mean, you know how Trump is. I mean, if only more Republicans, like in Oregon, were actually like Trump, we would get somewhere. I mean, Republicans are usually cowering in the corner when the media goes after them. You know, saying, no, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. That's not Donald Trump. And that's not what we need. We need strong, bold leadership right now, like Donald Trump is providing. And I think he will go after them today. I think that's the best way that he can stop this from happening. He doesn't have line item veto. Kate Brown does, but Donald Trump doesn't. And I wish he did.
So you don't believe that we actually are in martial law?
No, we're not. We are not. But I do think, however, some of the things that certain states have done is in fact unconstitutional. And I think somebody ought to be challenging it. Thanks, Rebecca. I appreciate your call. No, I don't think we're under martial law yet. And I don't think Donald Trump will go there. Because I don't think this is as bad as everybody thinks it is. Now, yeah, there's going to be more cases reported. And yes, more people are going to pass away, unfortunately. More cases are going to be reported. Why? Well, because testing kits are available. And especially testing kits that get it done quickly. Let's go to Art, who's on the line. Art, you got to go fast, man.
I will go fast. I was listening to Senator Grassley today, who was on one of the committees. He's a Republican. And, of course, our Senator Ron Wyden was right in the midst of it, collecting his paycheck, supposedly doing his job. And, you know, they had an agreement. Then all of a sudden, all of the Democrats voted no. We need to contact our senators and say, hey, you know what? This is a United States situation. You're supposed to be working together, not pretending to work together, and then all of a sudden go back on your word. It's called good faith negotiations, Jeff. And our Democratic Party doesn't know what good faith negotiations are. They're a bunch of stab them in the back, you know, go behind closed doors, and this garbage has to stop.
You are right. It does. And that, Art, got to let you go. But that is the best suggestion of the day, besides praying and helping your neighbors. It's called Wyden and Merkley. From
Rogers,
the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute. Listen to this. The coronavirus will come and go, but the government will never forget how easy it was to take control of your life. Think about it. That's why I think much of this is unconstitutional. Thanks for listening, friends. I appreciate each and every one of you. Make it a great day in spite of this madness.